Happy Monday, everybody. My name is Brandon Rose, and welcome to episode 302 of the Xbox in 10 podcast, your weekly source of Xbox gaming news covered in around 10 minutes. Every Monday, this podcast covers new game releases, the previous week's gaming news, and we all learn an Xbox-related fun fact together. This show is on YouTube and podcast services around the world, so please do me a favor, subscribe in your favor, and then leave a review. Xboxin10.com, no numbers, is your quick source for links to all of our podcast destinations and social media profiles, which you can follow at Xboxin10. To start, let's talk game releases. The big games out last week were Suikoden 1 and 2 HD Remaster, Great Ruin, and Dunin Unification Wars, as well as Monster Hunter Wilds. The games coming out this week include Beyond the Ice Palace 2, Centum, Wander Stop, Chernobyl Liquidators, 3D Don't Die Mr. Robot, Fate Reawakened, Legends Aligned, Colorful Recolor, Destino Indomitable, Mullet Mudjack, ASMR Slicing, Escape Site 13, Into Death and Beyond, and WWE 2K25. There are some games you can either now play on Xbox Game Pass and or are coming soon, and they include the following. You can now play Monster Train, Cloud Console and PC, Galacticare Series X and S, One Lonely Outpost, Cloud Console and PC. On March 11th, you can play Enter the Gungeon, Cloud Console and PC. March 13th, you can play Mullet Mudjack on Cloud PC and Series X and S. Then on March 18th, you can play 33 Immortals via Game Preview on Cloud PC and Series X and S. Now to last week's biggest news stories, and we have five to cover this week. Number 1. Gears Collection and E-Day both mentioned in new Xbox release dates rumors. Liam Doolin and Fraser Gilbert at Pure Xbox writes, Fable could apparently be joined by a Gears of War E-Day next year, according to the well-known Xbox leaker XTassies1. In a new update, the insider claims E-Day is currently targeting a 2026 release window for Xbox platforms, but also notes how it could be shifted across to this year if it's done in time. Additionally, the same source claims the rumored Gears Collection, featuring old titles, could finally be getting a reveal at the Xbox Game Showcase this year, followed by a potential release later in 2025. Once again, it's also believed this particular collection will be launching on PlayStation 5 alongside Xbox and PC. Here's a rough translation from Spanish of what XTassies1 had to say on YouTube. What my sources tell me is that Gears of War E-Day is increasingly far from even having the possibility of being released in 2025. It seems every cloud has a silver lining because according to reports and according to what I am reviewing, in 2025 will indeed have Gears. It will have always been very difficult for me to confirm this, but it seems we do have a Gears collection on the way. If everything continues according to plan, at least the plan as of today, which means things can go wrong, is that the collection will be announced at the Xbox Game Showcase this year, and that in principle it is planned to be launched in the same year. This latest rumor on the next Gears and rumored collection follows an update on January when it was reported People Can Fly would be helping out as a co-developer on Gears of War E-Day. Microsoft Games CEO Phil Spencer also recently made a trip to the Coalition to see how everything was going. This is awesome. I've always really enjoyed Gears, but I've never really put it as like a top franchise for me for some reason. I have played all of them, and I'm excited to go back through them all and play the collection. I mean, that first Gears of War game on 360 was revolutionary. That Gary Jules Mad World commercial is the greatest video game commercial of all time for the first game. If you haven't seen that, definitely go check that out on YouTube. And at least the other rumor swirling around this game is that, disappointing for probably many, the Gears Collection will not include multiplayer. I'm personally okay with that, but I know that will disappoint many. However, it seems like we should at least find out more details in a few months at the Xbox Game Showcase. Number 2, Call of Duty Black Ops 6 Season 3 will arrive later than expected in early April. Rebecca Valentine at IGN writes, Activision has announced a release date for Call of Duty Black Ops 6 and Warzone's upcoming Season 3, but it's a little later than players were expecting. As shown in a post on X, Season 3 will drop on April 3rd, with more details expected to be shared about the season next week. This is a bit later than players were expecting to see the season begin, however, as the countdown on the current Battle Pass was suggesting a reset on March 20th. Players have high hopes for Season 3. Activision has been teasing the return of the beloved Verdansk map for some time now, and has set expectations for its arrival sometime this spring. Just yesterday, a pop-up in the Call of Duty shop suggested the Verdansk collection would arrive on March 10th, likely heralding the map's triumphant return. It's crazy to call them old school fans, but this is big for any of the old school Warzone fans wanting to jump back into that OG Verdansk map. Personally, that's where some of my best gaming memories in the last decade have been when that first came out during COVID. Loved playing it with all the high school buddies who got back on Xbox to play that game. Number 3, Tony Hawk Pro Skater 3 and 4 Remake is official, launches July 11th. Darren Bonthews at GameSpot writes, after several teases, the remake of Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 3 and 4 has officially been confirmed. It will be launching on PC, PS5, PS4, Series X and S, and Xbox One and Switch on July 11th. And in addition to a standard edition to the game, there will also be a deluxe and collector's editions that offer 3 days early access. Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 3 and 4 will also be a day one release on Xbox Game Pass. Developed by Iron Galaxy, the remake will feature all of the skate parks from the original games, as well as a brand new one called Water Park. All of the skaters from THPS 3 and 4 will be back, and new faces including Yuto Horigami, Ryusa Liel, Jamie Foy, Chloe Covell, and Zion Wright. Iron Galaxy says the Create a Skater and Create a Park modes have been expanded. As for now, the soundtrack, the playlist hasn't been confirmed yet, but the trailer does use Ace of Spades by Motorhead and Amoeba by Adolescence, two songs that were originally used in Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 3. This is awesome. I loved playing the remake of 1 and 2 when that came back out just for that nostalgia hit. Never ended up beating them, so maybe I'll jump back out and beat that first. However, time is limited, so I definitely just want to jump into this because I remember having so much fun as a kid with the Create a Skater and Create a Park modes. Those were awesome. Number 4. Respawn has quietly canceled a multiplayer FPS incubation project. Rebecca Valentine at IGN writes, Apex Legends developer Respawn has canceled an incubation project this week and laid off an unknown number of individuals working on it in the process. This news was first reported by Insider Gaming, sourcing a now unavailable LinkedIn post from a former production coordinator who wrote that, quote, the unannounced incubation project I was a part of for the past year was canceled this week, so I'm joining the group of extremely talented and kind people in the games industry searching for a new role, end quote. IGN has been able to independently confirm that Respawn has canceled an unannounced incubation project. IGN understands this was a multiplayer FPS for which at least one job posting was listed last year, spun off by members of an internal team that was formerly working on a Star Wars FPS at Respawn, which itself was canceled last year. IGN can also confirm that a number of individuals have been laid off as part of the cancellation, though we are unable to confirm the exact number. It has been characterized as small by a source familiar with the project. IGN has also identified at least one individual connected to the project who has clarified on LinkedIn that their departure was voluntary. This is sad, but maybe it's for the best. I do trust in all things Respawn, and as y'all know, I love all things Star Wars, so this seemed like another match made in heaven, as are the Jedi games. However, we won't know what this project is, and maybe we'll get some leaks in the far future. And number 5, Monster Hunter Wilds is the fastest-selling Capcom game ever, 8 million copies, 3 days. Paul Tassi at Forbes writes, Monster Hunter Wilds is a massive critical and audience success for Capcom, and now we have some numbers to quantify that. Capcom has revealed that Monster Hunter Wilds is the fastest-selling Capcom game in the history of the company, selling 8 million copies in 3 days. For comparison, the previous title holder was Resident Evil 4 Remake, selling 3 million copies in 2 days. Even with an entire extra day, you can understand what a huge difference this is. Previously, Monster Hunter Rise sold 4 million copies in 3 days back in 2021, half of what we're seeing here. Monster Hunter Wilds is a Game of the Year contender with a 90 score on Metacritic, which almost automatically puts it in contention, and I still have serious doubts about GTA 6 coming out in 2025 as an auto win. The game has performed phenomenally where we can track the exact numbers on Steam, the fifth most concurrently played in Steam history shortly after launch. The game was released on February 28th and continues to put up over a million players nightly on Steam. Usually it is the second most played game behind only Counter-Strike 2. Go Capcom! This Capcom revival of the last, almost decade at this point, continues to succeed. I don't think I'll be jumping into Monster Hunter Wilds, it just is too much of a time suck, and I just don't have that right now with my backlog continuing to rise. And speaking of Rise, Monster Hunter Rise was the one game that the Xbox in 10 podcast did get early ahead of release, the one and only review I have published on the channel. And if you go back and watch that, I actually really enjoyed my time with it. It was the first Monster Hunter game I ever played, and I probably would like Wilds more just with the art style that it has. However, I didn't have anyone to play with, and that really seems like that's where the fun would be in these Monster Hunter games. As always, we end our show with a fun fact about Xbox, and since we're talking about Capcom, what are their best-selling game franchises of all time? So let's look at their top 10. Number 10, Onimusha with 8.7 million. Number 9, Marvel vs. Capcom, 12 million. Number 8, Ace Attorney, 13 million. Number 7, Dragon's Dogma, 13 million. Number 6, Dead Rising, 18 million. We jump. Number 5, Devil May Cry, 33 million. Number 4, Mega Man, 42 million. Number 3, Street Fighter, 56 million. Big old jump to number 2 with Monster Hunter, 108 million. And number 1, with a gigantic jump, and arguably my favorite franchise of all time, Resident Evil at 176 million. Let's go. Give me my Resident Evil 9. We have to be getting that teaser sometime soon. Thank you all for listening to the Xbox in 10 podcast, your weekly source of Xbox gaming news covered in around 10 minutes. If you like the show, please do subscribe on your favorite podcast service, share with your friends, leave a review, and follow on all social media at Xbox in 10. This past week, I haven't had too much time to game, but I have started and been going through Pokemon Black on my phone in Means, and I've never played this game, and it's pretty crazy since it's like a complete reboot at the time for the Pokemon franchise when it originally released on the DS. That and Marvel Snap, of course. My name is Brandon Rose. You can follow me on Xbox at Bros93. Hope you have a great week. Stay safe and keep on gaming.